Hey, Vestie, and welcome back to the Because I Love You podcast, where I tell you everything a best friend should because I love you. Today, I mean, new vid, new us. Guys, I'm not doing the floor anymore. I think we've graduated. I think I deserve that. I'm 30 now. My back. I can't do it anymore. So I don't know. We've graduated from the pillow toss to a blanket toss, and this is our setup now. I feel like this is vibes, though. Like, cheers. Ew, sorry, that was so gross. I don't know what I thought I was doing trying to be an ASMR channel, but this is honestly vibes. I hope that you guys are open and receptive to me changing the format, and I wanted to kind of talk with you guys about it, just and where my head's at, right? So I feel like I've been a little bit paranoid because I've been feeling, I don't know, little like feelings of burnout bubbling up all over again. And you guys know last year I really dealt with a lot of mental health issues, and burnout was obviously in the mix of that beautiful chaotic smoothie of whatever the hell was going on with me. But I just am very cognizant now of when there's like a shift with my mental health. Nothing is like concerning at this point. It's just that, okay, I feel things are getting a little bit off for me, and I want to pull back and honor like what I'm feeling and pivot and make the proper accommodations. So what I've noticed for me with burnout is that it's this like mundane, redundant routine that ends up being too much for me. It makes me feel stale. It makes me feel like I'm not progressing because I'm waking up and doing the same thing every single day. So whenever I feel like that, I have to take a step back and figure out like, how can I create some novelty in my routine? How can I make what I'm doing exciting again? Because one thing is for sure, I absolutely love creating content. There are no ifs, ands, buts about it. It doesn't matter where I am in my life. The one thing I always want to do is pick up a goddamn camera in any capacity, whether it's my phone, whether it's YouTube. I love being here so much and it makes me feel so happy. But like every job in everyone's life, the same old kind of wears down, you know? I love my job as a creator, but I think one of the hardest parts is that so much of being a creator is like you're branded. You are a brand. And when you evolve and when you want to go beyond that and outside of that, I feel like you have to make such a big deal about it. I guess what I'm saying is I don't want to make a big deal about the fact that I want to change some things up. I just hope and pray that you guys don't mind that. Honestly, the biggest change right now is that my ass is not on the floor. I'm on the couch. You know, I also think that format-wise, I want to try experimenting with some things. So you've probably noticed I've been changing a lot of things up since the beginning of the year. When I think of success and when I think of my content and what I want it to do for you guys is I want us to feel more like a community. I want to be more connected to you guys. And you already do such a fantastic job of that. But I mean this with every fiber in my body. I want to hear from you. I want to know what you're feeling, what's going on in your life, because I give so much of my life and my personal experiences here and the insight and the lessons that I get from that. And sometimes it feels very one-sided. Although so many of you comment and let me know how you're feeling, even though I can't possibly get back to every single one of you, I do want you to know that I am looking and I am observing and I am aware of how you guys feel about my content. It really means a lot to hear from you. And I honestly, I'm doing my absolute best to make sure you feel heard. But moving forward, I just want to put it out on the table that I want you to make this your space too. And the vibe that I could picture for myself is literally this. I want to have a feeling of having you on this couch, talking to you. Like some of my best moments in life are really heart to hearts with my friends. So that's what I want to bring to my channel. I think that also means too that I don't want to be so scripted. I want to be more of a free thinker and just like kind of talk from the heart. A lot of my videos are very intentional, very well thought out. And don't worry, that's not going anywhere. But like we're talking right now is kind of how I want to do it in other videos too, where it's more conversational and more podcast feely. I saw this graphic on Instagram the other day and I was like, oh my God, I have to share this because this was kind of my sign that I was getting burnt out because this sounds exactly like me last year. It says the 12 stages of burnout. Stage 1, you feel there is a strong need to prove yourself. Oh God, I hate that that's 100% accurate. And that's how I feel right now, if I'm being totally honest with you. I feel the need to prove myself. And I've been asking myself, what's going on with that? Like, why do I feel like I need to prove who I am? We'll come back to that. Stage two, you keep working harder and harder to achieve this. Literally. I know that I don't really share like the behind the scenes of anything, and I don't have to like prove that. But y'all, sometimes I convince myself to do really outlandish things when it comes to work in terms of how much energy I'm exerting. And that's why when I saw this, I was like, this must be my sign that I need to calm the fuck down. Stage three, you begin to neglect your own needs more. Yes. One thing that I've been honestly doing that I've noticed myself doing as of recent is forgetting to eat. And a bitch is always hungry. So that's crazy. Stage four, you are conflicted and blame others or the situation. I don't know how this would necessarily apply specifically, but I think for me, it might be more misguided aggression, where it's like someone in the line of fire gets my frustration that is due to my own work frustrations. So I could see that being true in some capacity. Stage five, you change your values to focus on work more. I'd have to think about this one, but I'm sure that I have in some way compromised what's important to me, but I would have to think more about that. Stage six, you deny the problems that arise due to work stress. Luckily, no, I don't deny that because of my ADHD meds, but I will tell you last year, absolutely, I was avoiding so much and denying so many other issues in my life because I was so stressed out by being a creator. Stage seven, you withdraw from social life and your family as well. Not now. No, I'm not doing that right now. But last year, absolutely. I was just a lone wolf. Now I'm really cognizant about that. I've made it a point this year to go out of my way to reach out to people, try to set things up. And my God, it's like pulling teeth sometimes to try to like match schedules with people, but we will get there. We will get there. And it's really important for me to have a social life. I don't know that I have ever said this to you guys. So when I started taking my ADHD meds, which are also prescribed for antidepressants, it kind of checks all the boxes, my dreams changed. And something that I found interesting was that my dreams went from me, just me being in my dreams, to at least 15 people being in my dreams. It's happened ever since I started taking the medication. And I remember another time in my life when I had tried antidepressants, that same thing happened. And I'm like, what's up with that? Why is it that every time I take antidepressants, my dreams have a lot of people in them? And I kind of made my own theory about this, and that I feel like what it could be is my brain telling me that I'm not filling my social cup at all, and I'm neglecting quality time with others. And we don't realize how important like human interaction is to our well-being and our health. So I'm literally over here just isolating myself, thinking that that is solving problems, because that means I don't have to deal with other people's bullshit. I don't have to be let down by other people and their expectations. But meanwhile, I'm actually depriving myself, because what I'm realizing now is I would rather be wrapped up in the dynamic of having ups and downs with people rather than be alone, because that's the human experience. You're not going to have perfect people in your life, but that's kind of the point. And in every single person that you meet, you learn something about yourself. So when you isolate yourself from others, I think you do yourself a huge disservice in not getting to evolve and grow and learn what you like and don't like and learn your own self-worth through other people's actions. I'm not saying you have to hang out with people who don't respect you or people that don't serve you, but I am saying that you can't let a few bad apples spoil the experience for you. There are so many amazing people out there. And what I've realized is I have, in the last years or so, punished myself and punished other people who have wanted to be friends with me because of my own shit in the past. And I've let those people in the past that hurt me win, which isn't fair at all. So yeah, that's a little tangent. But what I'm saying is having social relationships and interactions is so important. And regardless of how you get it, whether that's going to a group fitness class, whether that's doing some community activity, whether that's volunteering, or I don't know, get on Bumble BFF and like actually go on. I've done that. I've literally gone on a blind date with a friend from Bumble BFF, and it was actually so cute and fun. Like, not that many expectations, just like cool. Like, dating is fun and dating new people is fun, and it's nice when you know there doesn't have to be anything sexual at the end of it. So honestly, it's, in my opinion, it's a great concept. I haven't done it in a while, but it's kind of nice being like nervous before a friend date and getting to meet someone new. So anyways, stage 8, your behavior changes, which upsets your loved ones. Absolutely. Stage 9, depersonalization happens. You do not feel like yourself. Holy shit. If I could go back in time and show myself this graphic just so I could feel a little normal and know that like I'm not crazy, that would have been great. I did not know what depersonalization was last year until last year. And the best way I can explain depersonalization is you get to such a point mentally where, I had someone explain it to me, where your body or your mind kind of like leaves your body as a defense mechanism. And that's how it felt. I will never forget the day that it happened. AJ and I went to a Mexican restaurant. We're eating. I order a margarita. I sit down. I have no idea what triggered this to happen. But out of nowhere, I did not feel like I was in my body. No, I did not take drugs. No, I literally had 2 sips of a margarita. And if it was the margarita, holy shit. I think the alcohol did have something to do with it because I was already hormonally so imbalanced. And also, now that we had tested my neurotransmitters, we know that shit was fucked up there too. So I'm pretty sure the alcohol wasn't helping. But what happened is I went into a full-blown panic attack and I did not feel like I was in my body. So mind you, I am sitting here eating a fajita in front of AJ. And the next thing he knows is I'm running to the car. I didn't say anything. I don't even remember leaving the restaurant. I ran to the car. And then the crazy thing about that entire experience was I didn't feel like myself for months after that happened. Then when I knew that I could have something like that happen in public, it just like kind of messed me up a little bit, because then I was scared that it would happen again in public. I felt like people would think I was crazy, but it was terrible, just terrible anxiety. By the way, like if I saw someone having a meltdown like that, I would never think that you're crazy. It's part of the anxiety thing that makes me feel like I would be perceived as a real certified tweaker, if you know, you know. But I didn't feel like myself for months after that, and I didn't know what that was, and realized that I was experiencing depersonalization. And what it basically felt like was that I was in a video game and I was kind of like watching my arms, but I wasn't attached to them. And it was very scary. I'm not gonna lie. So what I would do during that time, I remember it was like winter, so I would go sit on my patio with nothing but my pajamas on, no blanket, no sweater, because the coldness made me feel like I was grounded. And I would also put ice on my wrist and like rub an ice roller on my face and things like that, because that made me feel like I was in my body again. Anyways, depersonalization is very hard to deal with. But again, what I'm grateful for is that my body was communicating with me at that time. My body was telling me, and we've talked about this in other videos, that I was out of alignment. And for me, that alignment was an internal thing. My hormones were not doing it. My hormones were out of whack, and I had gotten tested, my brain chemicals tested, I don't know what you call it, but my dopamine was like on the ground. My neurotransmitters just like weren't rocking. My body was rightfully so in fight or flight mode. And on the outside, I'm like, I don't know why, you know, but my guess is one, it was extreme stress. I can definitely attest to having some very difficult situations going on that I was internalizing that I've now let go of. And also, I think that it was a byproduct of birth control, because most of these issues did not occur until I came off of a certain pill that I was on. And we can talk about birth control in another episode, but the reason now, like, I am all for women doing what they want with their bodies, but I will never in my life take birth control again. I won't do it. AJ has to have the best pullout game in the universe. That's a contract. I'm not putting my body through that ever again because of the damage that happened after I came off the pill. It was like my body was trying to mimic the birth control even after I came off of it. And the birth control that I was on was only giving me 4 periods a year. So basically it was like, are we doing periods again or not? It was kind of freaking my body out, and my body had to relearn that no, we want you to have a period every month. So it took me almost over a year to get back to that place. Stage 10, you feel empty and numb. Substance abuse can occur. I definitely got to this point of feeling very empty and numb. And I would say like apathetic is the perfect word for it. I did not care about anything. I did not care about you. I did not care about myself. And that's when it gets dangerous. I'm saying this like loud and clear. If you are experiencing apathy, you need to get help, because this is the point in the journey where people are more likely to hurt themselves because they don't see nor do they care about the consequences. And my mind was 100% there at that time, but I had a sliver of desire and hope. And that was just enough for me to tell my therapist, we are in crisis mode, what's next? And she showed up for me. She was like, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna get you on the phone with a psychiatrist. I had an evaluation. I scored flying colors for depression and anxiety. And from there, we went through what medication would be the best. And it changed my life. And I'm super, super grateful, because if it weren't for that moment, I wouldn't be in the position now to feel so good and be happy and be in such a good place. But part of that experience led me to getting my ADHD diagnosis and giving me closure on that entire experience, which was not having an ADHD notice can lead to having other issues like depression, anxiety, all the things. So I think it just kind of all happened at once with the birth control and everything, and all these things came to the surface at one time because I was in such a vulnerable state with my hormones and literally my brain chemicals in that time. So if you have all of these issues already, you will really feel them when your body's not at its best. And that's kind of what happened to me. Stage 11, you feel depressed, lost, and completely exhausted. Absolutely. And stage 12, you mentally and physically collapse, full burnout. My burnout happened last year in the summer, and you guys know I did not post for quite some time, and that's what I was dealing with. Yeah, so I have never seen burnout spelled like this, and it's kind of crazy that this popped up on Instagram on my explore page, which like I never really look on my explore page anyways. And I don't know what caught my attention with this graphic. And I feel like it was really just a sign for me to kind of talk about it, because I would have never thought that this was burnout last year. But on top of like not feeling like myself last year, I was also trying to push myself to be the best creator and create the opportunities that I wanted and prove myself and XYZ. Like, oh my God, I was doing so much. And so long story short, I am now aware of when I'm starting to go through like stage 1 through 5, and I'm like, okay, time to reassess and pull back and see what I can do in my routine to avoid burnout, 1 and 2, continue to love my job. And so that's kind of a long, long explanation of why I am really wanting to change up the format of things right now and just a little refresh. Obviously, we're still talking about things that are important and that matter. I just wanted to be more conversational. So I guess that's me kind of like asking you guys to do that with me, because I can't talk to myself all day. Well, I can technically, and I do, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I just think it's nice. What's so cool about this community with the besties is that we feel so seen here. And I'm only sharing my experiences because I know I'm not that different from you guys. I know that a lot of us face the same issues and a lot of us internalize it. And there's so much healing in just saying something out loud. There's so much healing in even just typing it out, like, hey, I feel that way too. Or, hey, I've gone through the same thing and this is what I'm doing to feel better. That is what I want the besties to have. Not only are you guys my besties, but by default, you guys are each other's besties. And I think that this community can be something so special that you don't get in a lot of places on the internet. But I love that we can make this space one of the coolest places to be on the internet, because we're a safe space to be your fucking self, to be real, to be honest with yourself, and to really make real changes in your life. So I don't know, I'm really excited and hopeful for that. And I hope that excites you too. But Yeah.
So you can get a little matcha, pull up,
and we can have a little chit chat. I think a part of burnout too, like the first stage of burnout that I mentioned to you guys from that graphic, was that there's this need to prove yourself. And that's like one of the first little signs that you're about to go through a little burnout roller coaster, is like when you feel like you have to prove yourself. And something that really hit me this year, I don't know if it was because I turned 30 or what it was, but out of nowhere, I was like, I don't want to be extraordinary anymore. I just want to be Bria. And that is enough. That is extraordinary to me. When I define extraordinary in my mind, it means the word extra isn't extraordinary. And I don't want to be extra. And I think that so often, as being a Black creator, we really are pushed to be extra, have the best editing skills. You have to be having the most luxurious life online. Then you are celebrated as a Black creator, where I want to see more Black creators who can just show up as they are and be celebrated for that. And so when I say I don't want to be extraordinary anymore, I'm just saying I want to be celebrated for being myself, and I want my content to just be exactly what I want it to be. I want to stop making content through the lens of what I think people want. I want to make content the way Bria wants to make it. And so that might mean that things change. But what I do know is that it's going to give me the space to be even more real and raw with you guys, and it's going to give me the space to be so much more of myself. I think it's already kind of shown in like some of my recent content on TikTok and Instagram, because I've been so unserious, like goofball mode, unserious. And that's nothing new. That's just something that I don't really bring to the internet often, because I don't know. It's the realest part of me. And I guess I am holding that back because I don't want someone to like tarnish who I am at my core. But like all things, I'm not going to be everybody's cup of tea. Like we know this. We've realized this. I'm definitely not going to be everyone's cup of tea. And so I don't know. It just recently clicked that like I need to do this job in the way that makes the most sense for me. And that is showing up as my myself and not really giving a fuck about how anyone translates that, because it doesn't matter what I do. I could literally be Mother Teresa and someone will still have a problem with me. Literally, that comes with the internet job. So it's like, just get over it and like block. I've gotten so block heavy with my thumbs lately. It doesn't even matter. If you say something like halfway shady, it's next. Oh, like you say something about AJ, next. You say something about me, next. Honestly, it really depends on the day. Like, I don't really care. Sometimes people just really point out the obvious with me, like, oh, Bria, you have hair on your upper lip. Like, no fucking shit, I have hair on my upper lip. My mother is Creole. We all do. So what do you you think I don't see myself in the mirror? Goodbye. You might not get blocked for that, but you will get a sassy comment, because why? So you're gonna just have people who are literally online to be heard and be noticed, and they want to do that in the most jackass way possible. But my job is not to cater to those people. My job is to cater to you guys, who are the A1 day ones, the bestie for the resties, the certified tweakers. That's my job. I'm here to make the internet a safe space for you guys. So let me know how I can do that and what you guys want. What things do you want to talk about? What are you currently going through right now? Like, what's good for you? What's not good for you? I want to know everything, and I want to be able to come up with some fun ideas based off of like you guys, okay? Because I'm sick of me. I'm really sick of me, if I can be honest with you. And I think the difficult part about having a solo podcast is having a stream of thoughts and consciousness and just like going on like this for so long, which is fine. Like, I enjoy this, but my goodness, I would love to like have a soundboard here. So that's why I've been having AJ kind of pop in. I want to experiment with having more guests on. So another thing I was going to ask you guys is, who do you want to see on here? Is there a podcast you'd like to see me on? If you want to see me on someone else's podcast, why don't you let them know, hit them up in their comments or their DMs, and then also drop them in my comments. We could do a little matchmaker through the besties, okay? What creators are you watching these days on all platforms? Like, who are you looking at? So yeah, this is gonna be fun, but I'm just a little bit tired. And so it doesn't mean I'm gonna stop working. It just means I need to like be a little careful, because I don't wanna go through the 12 stages of burnout. Because ultimately, once you burn out, you have to take a break. Like, you have to take a break. And I don't like taking breaks. Not right now. The next break I want to take is if I have a kid and I'm on maternity leave, but I don't want to take a break. I'm having fun. I want to create. And I'm just so glad that you're here. And I'm glad that we can do this together and that this can be something we enjoy online as a community. So things are going to be fun and different moving forward. Get excited. But let me know your thoughts in the comments. As I said, don't forget these episodes are available as podcast on Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you get your podcast. So if you tune in from there, just make sure to hit us with a 5-star review if you like it. Also, if you like these episodes, share them. Share them to your Instagram stories. It's like the easiest way to support us for free. Comment on this video, give it a thumbs up. You know, all the things. Any engagement that you give us is great for the podcast and helps us grow. So share it with your best friends, share it with your family members, anyone who you think might enjoy it. But I'm so happy we could chat and catch up and really talk about this. Kind of helps me sort things out when I get it out like this. I know it's a little more like informal, but like I said, that might be the vibe moving forward. Okay, I love you guys. I'll see you next week.